Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for having me today to share the Word of God with all of you. And then before we start, I would like to read from Ruth chapter 2, and that is quite long. And if you have your Bible, you can open your Bible and follow me, and then if I think it will be on the screen. So this is the reading of the Word of God, Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in the field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters, "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. I have told the man may not to lay a hand on you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As he got up to the glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law said how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought up and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Bless the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. The name of the man I work with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field, you might be harmed. So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for this opportunity to share your word with my brothers and sisters at Connection Church. Please use this time that we can see your redemption in Ruth, Boaz, and Naomi's life. Bless our time and also bless those who are serving right now at the children's classroom. Be with them, also be with all the media people. Thank you, Father, in this name we pray. Amen. So last time, we looked at Ruth chapter 1 and witnessed a story marked by grief, displacement, and quiet loyalty. Ruth clung to Naomi, her mother-in-law, with unwavering devotion, even as Naomi returned home in bitterness, feeling empty and abandoned by God. In the midst of loss and despair, Ruth chose to stay, to love, and to walk into the unknown with faith. Today, as we continue in Ruth chapter 2, we move from emptiness to provision, from bitterness to hope, and from despair to the first glimpses of divine favor. Through the courage of Ruth, the kindness of Boaz, and the awakening trust of Naomi, we begin to see how God works behind the scenes to make his love and mercy known. So before Ruth steps into the field and before Boaz ever speaks, the narrator introduces him in Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing man from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. It was on verse 1. It might seem like a random detail, but this verse is rich with purpose. The writer invites us to pay attention, to see that what likes an ordinary moment is actually the beginning of divine orchestration. Ruth doesn't know Boaz yet. Naomi has not mentioned him, but God does. And he is preparing a path of provision and redemption behind the scenes. So let us walk together through this chapter with open hearts, ready to learn how we, too, can live like Ruth. So verse 2 to 3, we find Ruth in a place deep of vulnerability and quiet determination. She says to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone whose eyes I find favor. Ruth was not guaranteed anything. She stepped out not with certainty, but with hope, trusting that someone might respond with compassion. Just imagine if you have to go to someone's house, you know, that you just have to wait in front of the house, and then the person just like, hey, this is a leftover food you can pick up. He's not sure whether or not she is going to go home with food. But she stepped out with hope, trusting that someone might respond with compassion. That's the kind of faith that moves without guarantees. Her words, let me go, were not hesitant. They were humble. She was not demanding. She was honoring Naomi and their bond. Her posture was full of grace and quiet resolve. And as a Moabite, Ruth was stepping into a culture and a land that was not her own. She would have faced cultural and emotional shock. And then I relate to that deeply. As an international student coming to the U.S. after already living in Taiwan for almost 7 years, so it was my second time to be an international student, I experienced my fair share of culture shock, okay? And at 24 years old at the time, almost 20 years ago, I had my own room for the first time. I had grown up sharing a bedroom with 5 siblings lined up like sardines, okay? Suddenly, I had my space, privacy, and a garbage disposal. What is that? You know, I had no idea. And then I thought it might break, you know, the sound, it's like, what's that? And then the rains, the dishwasher, still one of the best inventions of all time. And the snow, the magical but freezing. Even greetings were confusing. Everyone said, what's up? You know, I didn't know how to respond because I had learned to say, how are you? I'm fine, thank you, and you? That's how we learn English. But they say, watch up. So I'm just like, okay, it didn't quite work here. And while I thought my English was good, I quickly realized I had a lot to learn, and I still have a lot to learn. And let me not forget the hugging. All the hugging from both men and women really surprised me. In my culture, physical affection like that was not common. At first, it was awkward. And after almost 19 years, I'm still trying to get used to it. So it's not because I do not like to hug you, because it's like, oh, this is awkward. All of those new experiences, the language, the custom, the unfamiliar spaces remind me of what Ruth must have felt stepping into Bethlehem. She came from a people despised by Israel, spoke a different language, and worshiped a different God. She was a widow, a foreigner, and a woman, vulnerable in every way, and yet she chose to show up. And Ruth reminds me of many of you who chose to remain at Connection Church during a time of transition. Some of you had walked through pastoral changes before, but for many it was unfamiliar. Still, you stayed. And more than that, you stepped up. Some of you served in roles you never imagined. That's what it means to live like Ruth, to choose courage over comfort, and faith over fear. And Ruth understood that courage alone would not be enough. She would also need compassion. That's why she said, let me go, that I might find favor. And then scripture says, it turns out she was working in a field belonging to Boaz. What is a coincidence? I don't believe in them, you know. I don't believe in coincidence. This was providence, not chance. God was already at work, guiding her steps towards provision, protection, and purpose. Trusting others to respond with compassion can feel incredibly vulnerable, especially for someone like me. I've always taken pride in being strong and independent, rarely asking for help. I still remember when I was 6 years old, I said, Mom, I want to learn English, you know. And then I went to my tutor's house walking for 20 minutes by myself. It was a long time ago. It was still safe. Now you cannot walk by yourself. So maybe some of you can also relate, you know, by being independent. I feel like Americans are so independent. You know, they have to do everything by themselves. Then it's hard to ask for help. But over 2 decades of ministry, I've seen God's compassion through so many people he placed in my path. People who welcomed, encouraged, and supported me after I said yes to entering his field. None of it was accidental. None of them were coincidences. Sometimes I wonder what my life would look like if I had never stepped out in faith. Would I still be in Binjai, a small town in North Sumatra, in Indonesia? Probably none of you even know where Binzai is, you know. I'm so thankful I said yes, because through that yes, I have seen God's divine orchestration and compassion unfold in ways I could never have imagined. Because others show compassion to me, that same compassion has shaped me. It softened my heart. It taught me how to give freely because I had received so freely. So here's the takeaway. To live like Ruth is to say yes, even when it is scary, even when you don't have all the answers. Don't wait for the perfect moment. Step out. God is already preparing the field. Live like Ruth. Step out in courage. And then a question for you to reflect. Where might God be calling you to step on in courage, even if it feels unfamiliar or uncomfortable? Who in your life might need to see the kind of bold, faithful love Ruth demonstrated? So, where might God be calling you to step out in courage? Okay, think about it. Then Ruth, chapter 2, 4 to 17. It gives us a glimpse into Boaz's heart, and into the moment Ruth realizes something she never expected. She has found favor. Earlier, Ruth said, "Let me go to the field and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." That was not certainty. It was hope. Ruth was not expecting kindness. She was hoping for it. And now, standing in Boaz's field, she is overwhelmed by grace. Boaz greets his workers with, "The Lord be with you," a blessing that shows his heart. And then he sees Ruth, not as a threat, but as a woman with a story worthy of dignity. Where others saw Moabite, Boaz called her my daughter. He listened, he acted, he protected her, provided for her, and welcomed her to the table. His kindness wasn't obligation, it was choice. It wasn't transactional. It was transformational. That kind of radical kindness is what our world needs today. We live in a time of deep division, where Christians are often known more for what we are against than what we are for. The radical, inclusive love of Jesus is too often drowned out by noise, fear, and pride. So let me be clear, okay? I believe in truth. But most people don't come to Christ because they understand theology. They come because they have encountered grace. We don't ask people, "Do you understand about Trinity? Do you know what is justification? Do you know what is sanctification?" before we accept them to be Christian, you know? They always come, you know? "Why you want to become Christian?" "Oh, because so-and-so show a lot of love, okay? Because so-and-so loved me, because so-and-so helped me a lot." And then they enter the church, and then they learn about Christ, okay? So I remember when I came to the U.S. for seminary, I had almost nothing but God sent Boaz-like people. A pastor I had never met picked me up from the airport and gave me a bag of rice. Yeah, I'm Asian, you know, I need rice. So I don't need anything, I need rice. I even brought my own rice cooker from Taiwan. Families opened their homes, and then a woman named Anna, whom I met in Philadelphia for a conference, offered to share half her small internship salary with me for 2 years. I think she only got paid $300, and then she gave me $150. Because she said she has a husband. I don't have a husband, so she shared with me her internship money. And then my pastor in Taiwan and my professor and his wife in Taiwan and my seminary friend Heather, who picked me up every Sunday, all gave not out of obligation, but out of love. And churches like Celebration Church and Connection Church walk with me through both brokenness and healing. To love like Boaz is to use what we have, our time, resources, attention, not because we have to, but because we chose to. It seeks the overlook and treating them with honor. It is giving in a way that restores dignity. And Boaz welcomed Ruth to the table. Once he sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. He made room for her to feel seen, included, and respected. There have been many Boaz figures in my life, people who invited me to their tables, shared their meals, and make me feel like I'm family. That's why when I finally picked out my own dining table, I chose a long one. I wanted a room to welcome many, just like I had been welcome. And Boaz went further as he got up to glean. Boaz gave orders to his men, let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her and don't rebuke her. Boaz loved in a way that preserved Ruth's dignity. He gave her space to work, contribute, and thrive. And Ruth responded with perseverance. So Ruth gleaned until evening, and it amounted to about an ephah, nearly 30 pounds of grain. 30 pounds of grain, okay? And she carried it home and brought out leftovers to share with Naomi. That's the power of Boaz's love, and it's the kind we are called to reflect. Why do we love like this? It's because God loved us first. We love because he first loved us. And Jesus said, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Love like Boaz. Show radical kindness. Let me ask you, have you ever experienced unexpected kindness? When was the last time grace found you before you even asked for it? And who might be waiting for that kind of grace from you? Okay? So when was the last time grace found you before you even asked for it? And who might be waiting for that kind of grace from you? Okay? Love like Boaz. Show radical kindness. The last part of Ruth chapter 2 brings us back to Naomi. So Ruth returns home after a long day, not empty-handed, but carrying nearly 30 pounds of barley. That's a lot of barley, you know. It's difficult to carry 20 pounds of rice, you know. Just 30 pounds of barley is a lot. She also brings leftovers from Boaz's table. Just picture it, okay? Ruth, under the hot sun, bent over every day, all day long, pick up leftovers. So it is one by one, okay? It's not a bunch of grain. You have to pick one by one. You cannot bring the broom, right? And have picking up leftover stalks one by one. Dirt on her hands, sweat on her face. This was not a small gesture. It was the labor of love. Okay, she has to work for it. Pick up every single grain. Just imagine. Did she take a break? Yeah, one time when Boaz invited her to eat with him and then the workers, you know, probably the rest of the time, you know, she would just like pick up the grain. Just like, if she can do 6 days a week, right, 30 pounds a day, how many pounds for a month, right? She can be a rich woman after a month. So Naomi is stunned, just like, what? Where did you glean today? And when she hears the name Boaz, something shifts. The Lord bless him. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. For the first time in a long time, Naomi sees God's hand again. Hope, long buried under grief, begins to rise. Naomi had lost everything, but in this small, ordinary moment, grain and a name, she sees kindness. What looked like coincidence was actually providence. To trust like Naomi is to allow hope to rise again. Even when we have felt abandoned, it's daring to believe God is still at work, even when life is hard. So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Life was not perfect. They were still widows, okay? Even though they had grains, but they were still widows. But there was connection, provision, and a glimmer of redemption. We may not always recognize God's provision in the moment, but if we stay open, stay close, we will see God is not finished. He is still weaving redemption into our story. You know, sometimes I think, oh, my life is not great. You know, how can I still see God is not finished yet? How can I see He is still weaving redemption into my story, you know, when I cannot see the end of the story? I always like to see the end of the story. When I read a book, I will read the first chapter and then I will just like go to the last chapter because I don't have patience. But I cannot go to the last chapter of my life, you know. There are so many chapters in my life, you know. What will happen next? I don't know. How do we make God's love and mercy known in uncertain times? We live like Ruth, bold in faith. We love like Boaz, generous in kindness. We trust like Naomi, open to redemption. May we offer our fields, share our bread, and believe again in God who has not stopped showing His kindness to the living and the dead. And then one of us in our congregation, his name is Elizabeth Kipkin. She needs us to show her some love, okay? And then this upcoming Saturday, Gert and Ed will open the house to do some fundraising for her. There is no obligation to go or to donate, but I just want to let you know. One of us who come here, a foreigner from India, need our help. So I was blessed before, and then, you know, I hope we can also bless her. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, sometimes it's so difficult to see that the redemption story has not ended yet, that you are still weaving your stories in our life. But just help us when life is difficult, that we will live like Ruth, step out in courage, and then love like Boaz, and also have the faith like Naomi. Be with us. As we are still in a lot of transition in our church, trying to get to know our pastor, Rob, and then trying to seek for your will, help us that we know there is no coincidence in our life, but you are the God who is going to provide, and you already provided. Bless us and bless this church. In this name we pray. Amen.